Chapter 10. From above, Cody plummets down, jetpack kicking on just before it's too late. He lands in the midst of the next squad of droids, and Rex plunges into the fray, calling back over his shoulder,
"Medic set up in the main hangar, go!"
Grimly, Jax drags Granta's arm up over his shoulders, pulls, and Granta staggers up as best he can, tries to catch his breath. It's hard, but staying here seems like a terrible idea, given the odds. "There's a shortcut," Jax says, and tugs him towards a door. It opens into a wide, echoing training room, and Jax ducks through, then seals it behind him. "The other door is by the bridge. We can get out there." Winded, Granta nods, presses a hand to his side. The wound isn't bleeding much, at least. It was a graze more than an outright hit, burned more than tore through, and that means it's survivable with a dermal mender, some Bacta, and some bandages. "If the captain and the commander are here, and Grievous is running, the clones are winning," he manages. "My ship is aboard the cruiser." Jax only hesitates for an instant before he nods. "You're hurt," he says. "They'll take you up with the other wounded, right?" Granta closes his eyes, but when Jax opens the far door, the rush of cold sea air makes him open them again, startled back to full awareness. "I'm not going to medical," he says. There's Bacta on my ship, and I need to leave before they realize I'm the one who killed Ventress." "I knew it was you," Jax mutters, but he nods, tugs Granta forward. "I'll tell them I'm escorting you back to your ship. Captain's orders." "You can't be mad I murdered a Sith," Granta says, offended. "They're the ones your side is fighting. I helped you." "You look like you were painting warning messages on the walls in her blood or something, you weirdo." Granta blinks, struck by the thought. "Well, that would certainly get Dooku's attention." "No," Jax says firmly, and pulls Granta into the main hangar by his jacket. He takes one look around and hesitates, face paling, but Granta sighs quietly and pulls him onward, through the rows of the dead and wounded. "Come on," he says quietly. "Those look like medical transports. If you're really going to lie for me, let's see how you do." Jax pulls a face at him, though he can't quite pull his gaze from the bodies. "There are cadets there," he says, faintly shaken, and Granta finds his hand, grips it gently. "More survived," he says, and the call of one of the medics is almost a relief. It's Korik, the medic from the transport Granta took down here, blaster slung over his back and armor smeared with blood. He catches Granta's other arm, leans around and tugs his coat up to check the wound, and hisses.
"Trainer?"
he asks.
"Human?"
"He replaced Rao when she got chased off," Jax says without hesitation, and Korik grunts.
"Good riddance,"
he says, and casts a look around.
"We're moving as many as we can back up to the ship. Koho, got room?" "Standing room only,"
the pilot calls back, but Korik waves Granta and Jax forward.
"You got him, kid. You can just load him and get back to your squad. Got it?"
Jax shakes his head. "Captain Rex wanted me to make sure he went to the medics, sir."
"Captain Rex did?"
Korik frowns, but he doesn't argue.
"Then stay close and don't get in the way. Stretcher, over here."
He keeps moving, hurrying to meet another wounded trooper, and Jax steers Granta up into the transport, steadying him when he trips and almost falls. The pilot slides between the rows of the wounded to help, presses them back into the corner behind an empty crate, and helps Jax grab one of the straps.
"Hang on tight,"
he says, and Granta leans back against the wall, tips his head back, and tries to breathe.
"Wait,"
a voice calls, and the pilot pauses in the middle of strapping in, glancing up as Echo leaps up and in, then turns to help a young Togruta girl up behind him. She's grimacing, favoring one leg, and Echo all but pulls her in, then steers her towards the co-pilot seat.
"General Tashi ordered me to get Commander Tano back to the cruiser,"
Echo says, and Granta carefully slides down the wall, folding his knees up tight so that he's out of sight. The very last thing he needs is for a Jedi to spot him right now. Jax glances at him, then up at the front, and shifts so that he's blocking Granta's boots from view.
"Got it,"
Koho confirms, and then says with a grin,
"Having fun, Commander. You get to fistfight Grievous."
"He kicked me," Tano says, offended. "Right through a wall. Master Siri looked like she was going to laugh at me."
"Karking awful,"
Koho says gravely, and Tano thumps him in the shoulder.
Kid, get to the back. We might need to pull some creative maneuvers, and I don't want to be wearing you if we do.
Echo huffs, but he moves back, stumbling slightly as Koho kicks the engines on and takes off. At the sight of Jax, he pauses, spots Granta, and sucks in a sharp breath, going down to one knee.
Granta!
Granta smirks at him, as lazy as he can make it. Fancy meeting you here, Echo. Did Cut-Up abandon you? Echo pulls his helmet off, worried gaze flickering over Granta. No, he went with Commander Blitz and his squad to check the genetic records hall. General Tashi thought the Seps might be after Django's DNA. That's likely what Ventress was doing, Granta thinks, and, well, she tried to kill Colt. He doesn't need another reason to end her, but that's a decent one. You? He asks, and Echo smiles. I'm fine, he says. I think we impressed one of the ARC trainers. Alpha 17 told us if we didn't enroll, he'd kick our shebs. Granta snorts, tipping his head back against the wall. Everything hurts, and he shifts, uncomfortable, the overhead lights feeling like they're searing into his brain. Jax tosses his jacket over Granta's face, blocking them out, and crouches down next to him. You have a headache again? He asks, frowning. Did you get hit? The semi-darkness brings a wash of relief, and Granta breathes out, finds Jax's hand where it rests between them. Jax grips his fingers, squeezing tightly, and Granta says, No, just side effects. There's a pause, and then Echo says, an odd note in his voice, You're Jax. How'd you know? Jax asks curiously. Granta talked about you. Echo hesitates, then says, He saved us on Rishi Station. That's how we were able to get word out that the invasion was coming. Jax's fingers twist tighter, almost clinging. You got out and you came back? He asks, disbelieving. Are you stupid? Granta makes a sound of protest, though he doesn't tug the jacket down. I had plenty of reasons for coming back, he says, and you don't get to talk when you were going to lead your whole squad down to the basement. Not my whole squad, just me, Jax says, and from the tone, he's rolling his eyes. Whiplash was exaggerating, and I do get to talk because you got shot for me. What? Echo demands, alarmed. You got shot? Granta sighs, draping an arm over his face. Don't yell. My head already feels like it's being split open with a lightsaber. You're supposed to be in bed, resting, Echo says, pointed. He hesitates as the transport slides into the cruiser's bay, but rises to his feet, shifts. He shoots one last glance at Granta, then says, I need to go help the commander and get back to the others, but be careful, okay? Jax casts a glance at Granta, then at Echo. I can help the commander while you get Granta, he offers after a second. Echo shakes his head. I have orders, he says. And besides, Granta has you. Still, Jax says, it's just trading duties. Granta needs some help, and you're taller anyway. You can just come back once you've helped the commander. I told you, I have to get back to my squad. Echo sounds faintly annoyed. They're all in danger down there. They're still fighting. It twinges, but Granta tugs the jacket down, looking up at him. Carefully, carefully, but he only asked fives before, and some twist in his chest makes him wonder, stupidly, senselessly, if Echo's answer might be different. Fives was so kind, so open. Echo's been more guarded, but still warm, still sweet. Maybe, I need to get Droid Bay to somewhere with a medical facility, he says. Once the fighting is over, if you want to come with me, as my sons, Jax's grip tightens, and his breath catches. Echo turns his head away, pulling his helmet back on with a sharp tug.
We're not,
he says, and the sharpness in it makes Granta freeze, heartbeat suddenly too quick in his chest.
I don't. You always call us that. We're your clones. They stole DNA, and that's all we are. We're your clones, not your kids.
Abrupt, he turns away, heads up to the front where Tano is just struggling to her feet. Sliding under her arm, he helps her out of the transport, then out of sight. It feels, a little, like he takes half the contents of Granta's chest with him. It's hard to force each breath out of his lungs. Granta stares at the spot where Echo just was, ears ringing, and, We're your clones, not your kids. Granta? Jax asks quietly, but Granta can't pull an answer together, has no idea what to say, how to form any sort of a response. He squeezes his eyes shut, thumps his head back against the wall, and breathes out once, sharp. "Should have known better," he says, tries to make it light. "Well, there's me told." Jax doesn't say anything, and Granta laughs. Laughs like it's going to tear his throat, because if he doesn't, he doesn't know what he'll do. He doesn't know what to do. "They're your sons?" Jax asks, soft. "Domino Squad?" "No," Granta tries to say, because that's Echo's belief. That's Fives' belief, clearly, and he remembers how Heavy barely even glanced at him, focused on 99 alone. Understandable if they don't think of Granta as their father. He told Echo and Fives about Tura. He tried. Carefully, gently, Jax tugs the jacket back up over his face, covers him in blessed darkness. "It's okay," he says, and then, "They're about to start unloading the stretchers. We should get to your ship." They should. Granta knows that, but he can't make himself move somehow. "That's the second time I've asked," he says, and it feels raw in his throat. Jax is quiet for a moment. "You want them to leave the Gar?" he asks. Granta laughs, ragged, and the urge to crawl away, to lick his wounds in private, is almost unbearable, but Jax is still gripping his hand. Granta could shake him off, but he doesn't. He can't. "They're my sons," he says, and that's what he sees, even if none of them believe it. Even if none of them ever agree, it will always be there, right in Granta's chest beside his heart. If they get hurt, or if they die, I'll... He doesn't know what he'll do if that happens. Thinks, with something like quiet terror, of his mother, of how she looked when she sent him off to the academy, her face in the handful of holocalls he'd had with her. That haggard, worn-down look, the grief, and then... News of her death hadn't been a surprise, not really, not after Xanatos' suicide. "Come on," Jax says quietly, and tugs at his hands. Granta moves obediently, steadying Jax's coat against the glare of the hangar's lights, and lets Jax lead him down from the transport, across the wide room. There are hundreds of voices, the roar of fighters, the noise of machines, and all of it makes his head throb. He stumbles, and his whole side feels numb, tingling, but he keeps moving towards the bulk of his ship, where the ramp is down and waiting. Jax steers him up it, through the halls to the small medical room, and Granta unlocks the door with a press of his hand and slides in. Droidbait is still sleeping, frozen halfway to death, and Granta stares at his face, at his son, and wonders if Droidbait would choose to stay too. Most likely, he thinks. Like Five said, there are 1,000 reasons not to go. "I've got the Bacta," Jax says, and that's enough to get Granta moving again, despite the ringing in his ears. He pulls his coat off, then his shirt, and Jax has seen his scars before. He knows what they look like, doesn't so much as hesitate as he slides close, starts smearing Bacta across the burn. Granta stays quiet, just breathing, and he closes his eyes so he'll stop looking for the echo of his own features in Droidbait's face. It hardly matters anymore. Carefully, efficiently, Jax seals a Bacta patch over the wound, wraps bandages over it to help hold it in place. Granta keeps still, letting him work, and when Jax steps back, he twists carefully, tests the numbness that's from Bacta rather than nerve damage this time, and breathes out. "It seems like all the times I patched you up have paid off," he says, dry. "Practically a professional job. I'd come," Jax blurts out, and Granta freezes. If you asked me, I'd come with you. I'm not your son, but..." He sounds angry. He sounds desperate. There's an ache to it, an edge, and Granta feels strangely fragile, like thin glass. He carefully, slowly pushes to his feet, turns to face Jax in the narrow space, as if that movement alone will shatter him. Jax stares at him, braced like Granta is going to laugh, or maybe yell at him, and his eyes are wide, but his expression is stubbornly set. Breathing out, Granta sinks to one knee, reaches out. Jax clutches at his hands, and Granta's heart turns over, washes warmth through him that eats at the chill, the unsteady desperation that's been rising since Fives' refusal. "You have to mean it," he warns, I'm a terrible, vicious, greedy man, Jax, and if you come with me, you will be my son, and I won't ever let you leave. There's a pause, and then Jax huffs, so wholly unimpressed that it cracks the terrible tension right down the middle. You always try to pretend you're so scary, he says, and pulls his hands away. Before Granta has time to feel more than a lurch of fear in the pit of his stomach, though, Jax leans in, wraps his arms around Granta's neck so tight it's almost choking. I mean it, he says, and Granta closes his eyes, sinks down on both knees, and hugs Jax back. Not his blood, but what does that matter if Echo and the others don't even see that blood as a tie? Jax sees some tie, and even if it's nothing so physical, it's something. It's everything. We'll leave now, Granta says. Before the battle is over, while everything's confused, there's already a place for us. I prepared everything.
I don't care,
Jax says, half muffled.
I just want to stay.
Granta's eyes sting, and he can't make himself let go. Granta sleeps for most of the flight to Rune, mildly dizzy and unsteady as the vertigo and muscle weakness reassert themselves. It feels a little like that first desperate flight from Kamino, leaving Comet and Tup behind. This time, though, there's another soul aboard, and Jax stays close. Just like in the cell, he makes himself a comfortable spot on Granta's bunk, reads terrible novels to him with an edge of incredulity that makes them particularly entertaining, and sits close, just being present, during the worst of the reactions. Granta can't offer him anything in return, maddeningly pathetic and unsteady, but Jax stays regardless, and Granta doesn't know why, but he'd cut his own hands off before he argued against it. There is, thankfully, not a great distance between Kamino and Rune, though Granta has to find an entry point to the Deathwind corridor that won't leave them embedded in the middle of a star somewhere. The far end of the corridor, where it finally reaches the Cloak of the Sith, requires a defter hand at navigation than Jax is capable of, so Granta hauls himself out of bed and into the pilot's seat, settling in with a grim sort of humor as he takes the controls. Is this really going to be safer? Jax asks warily, but he straps himself into the other seat rather than linger by the escape pod, so Granta presumes it's mostly for show. Unless you can navigate a hyperlane famously used by the most reckless of Ryloth's real smugglers, yes. Granta checks the readouts, frowning, and eases their speed back. It's been a while since he visited Rune, and while he's hardly a cautious pilot, the cloak is dangerous enough to warrant some caution. The beacon ahead is where I remember it, at least. I'll teach you the trick of this approach as soon as I'm a little steadier. The way Jax grins is something of a surprise, even if he hasn't precisely been dour since their escape from the Triumphant. Hotshot would self-detonate with jealousy, he says, smug about it, and Granta snorts in amusement. The would-be pilot, he asks, didn't he give you a split lip your first week of hand-to-hand training? Jax huffs. Why do you remember that? He asks. It was barely a week after the first time I found you. And anyway, I gave him a black eye back. I remember everything you told me, of course, Granta says. How do you expect me to be the most dangerous man in the galaxy if I don't have a good memory for blackmail? Jax slants him a look, and Granta can't quite read what's on his face, but it isn't annoyance. Still not as good as a clone memory, he says, pointed, still smug, because he knows that's a sore point. Oh, hey, are you going to teach me Sith script? And Pak-Pak, you said you'd teach me to swear in Hatties. Granta laughs, despite everything. Ancient Sith, he corrects. But yes, I'll teach you whatever you want. Jax grins and... One promise did that. Granta did that. Some part of him tries to compare, to remember if Xanatos ever made him that happy, but... It's different. Xanatos wanted a tool, wanted Granta for a purpose, and every visit was in furtherance of that. Granta likely should have an excuse for why he's turning his life on its end like this, but he can't come up with one. He doesn't want to. Awesome, Jax says, and leans forward, squinting into the darkness of hyperspace. Is that the beacon? Granta makes a sound of confirmation, but reaches for the holoscreen. Here, we need to check the code. This deep in the Outer Rim, and particularly around planets with a healthy black market, the Hutts will sometimes reprogram beacons to transmit incorrect exit coordinates. You jump wrong, and suddenly your ship is stripped of its cargo, and you're being sold as a slave on Nal Hutta. What? Jax asks, alarmed. They can do that? Granta snorts. If they can bribe a technician and a few minor officials, certainly. Here, this is the spot to check. He highlights the line of code with a swipe of his finger. Pull up Rune's grid coordinates and compare them. Jax hurries to call up the coordinates on the other screen, then leans in. They look the same, but the last number is off. Granta checks it briefly, but inclines his head. That's fine. We're headed for Rune's moon, not the planet itself. A difference that small won't matter. It's a large one you have to watch for. In the main number, Jax asks, but he sits back again, folding his legs under him as the beacon approaches. Yes, I'll show you the Hutt space grid I made as soon as I have access to some of my files again. It has all the coordinates you need to watch out for. Granta catches the warning as it flickers across the screen, grimaces. Hang on, there's about to be turbulence. Jax braces himself, though he winces as the ship shudders across the ripples in hyperspace. Is that normal? Around here it is. There's a reason only smugglers use this route. The nav computer flashes the coordinates it pulled from the beacon on the display, and Granta accepts them with a touch, feels the jolt. They break into regular space to the sight of a ringed planet, brilliantly teal and emerald, with a forest green moon circling above the rings. Granta is already looking for their landing point when he hears Jax's indrawn breath, and he looks over to find Jax leaning forward in his seat, gaze fixed on Rune. Everything else is dark, he says, awed. There aren't even any other stars. Granta pauses, glances back, and tries to see it as Jax's, new and strange. Like the taste of a new cup of tea after years in his cell, he thinks ruefully, and breathes out. Rune's brilliance, set against the velvet black of the surrounding space, its rings, the faintly blue-touched light of its sun, it is lovely. He'd forgotten just how lovely. The Cloak of the Sith, he says, a vast cosmic dust cloud that blocks all the light from the nearby stars. It's why the hyperspace lanes near here are so hard to navigate, and why smugglers spend so much time on Rune's nightside. Wizard, Jax says, delighted, leaning forward like he's going to press his nose to the view screen. We're landing on the moon. Assuming our contact doesn't double-cross us and blow us out of the air, Granta says with equanimity. He doesn't think Hunty will do anything of the sort, but it's always a possibility. Thankfully, Jax just rolls his eyes, sinking back slightly as they drop towards the moon's vast forests. If that happens a lot, have you considered that it might be your fault? Rubbish. I'm a perfectly serviceable employer. A good one, even. They get benefits. If you spend all your time around them pretending to be scary, I don't pretend, Jax. I convince them that I am. A landing pad comes into view below them, set into a small clearing halfway up one of the taller hills. The trees sway as Granta drops through the circle of them, but the ship touches down lightly enough, right beside a smaller, sleeker skiff. Even as he turns the engines off, three figures appear on the walkway, approaching quickly. Hunty is at the front, tall and lean, with violet-silver eyes and dark red hair, bound back by a silver cord, and the Zabrak woman behind him is doubtless the new bounty hunter. With them is a Pantoran woman in a white coat, her fair hair caught up in a tight bun, a scanner protruding from one of her pockets, and an unfamiliar model of droid at her side. The doctor, Granta thinks, and triggers the ramp. Home sweet home, he says sardonically, and carefully pushes to his feet. Jax slides under his arm, holding him up, and Granta grimaces, but picks his way forward with more care than he would prefer. After all, Hunty and Sugi are allies, but any ally can be bought. There's no one in the whole world except family that's wholly reliable. Hunty stops at the bottom of the ramp just as they're emerging from the belly of the ship, and his gaze is wary, just touched with fear. Omega, he says politely, though his eyes flicker to Jax, linger for just a moment. Pereg, Granta returns, and nods to Sugi, then glances at the doctor and her droid. The medical facilities are up to your standards, doctor. Better than most I work out of, she says pleasantly enough. Are you my patient? Yes, Hunty starts, but Granta shakes his head. Up here, he says. I've had him in a stasis pod for 3 days now, close to four. The doctor nods, waving Granta back when he turns to show her the way. Stay here. The last thing I need is you falling over on me. Bucket, I may need a stretcher. The droid beeps an agreement, and Granta raises a brow as he watches the doctor disappear into the ship, her droid at her heels. Bucket, he echoes. Short for Rust Bucket, from what I've gathered, Sugi says with amusement, stepping forward. She's faintly wary, but still friendly as she offers a hand. I'm Sugi. Pareg didn't give me many details, but you offer a pretty signing bonus, Omega. I'll make you work for every penny of it, Granta promises lightly, clasping wrists with her for a moment and then pulling back. He rests a hand more firmly on Jax's shoulder, then says, This is my son, Jax. Your first priority in any situation is his safety. Acceptable terms? Sure, Sugi says, gaze curious, but she just grins at Jax. Know how to use that blaster, kid? Of course I do, or I wouldn't be carrying it, Jax says, and Sugi snorts, then tips her head in agreement. That'll make things easier then. She glances at Granta again and offers, We're about 10 minutes on speeders from the town, so if you need anything, I can get it. My crew comes through here often enough that I'm a familiar face. That's an unexpected advantage, and Granta inclines his head, though he can't help looking back into the ship. There's a rattle, a clank, and a moment later, the hum of anti-grav generators rises. A stretcher appears at the top of the ramp, the doctor beside it, and she nods to Granta, one hand on Droidbait's arm as she takes in the readings on her scanner. He's in a bad way, she says plainly, but I can fix him physically. It will take several weeks in a Bacta tank, though, and I'm not sure when he'll wake up, or if he'll wake up. If. Granta closes his eyes, breathes out. But regardless, Droidbait will have a better chance here than on Kamino, where he'd be decommissioned immediately. Whatever you need, Doctor, he says. Just tell Sugi, Pareg, or myself, and it will be provided. The doctor takes that as her due, her golden eyes sweeping over Granta carefully. I'll send Bucket to get you when I'm done with the soldier, she says, or maybe warns, and keeps going, up towards the sprawling complex that's built into the hill. She's the best from the night side, Hunty says after a moment, like an excuse. Granta snorts. She can be whatever she likes as long as she keeps my son alive, he says blandly. Pauses, looking from Jax to the steep rise of the walkway as it climbs the hill, and grimaces. Let me help, Sugi says smoothly, sliding in on his other side. Her smirk is faintly wicked. Seeing as I come up above your waist. I'm not that short, Jax protests, and keeps his fingers hooked in Granta's shirt as Sugi helps him up the hill, Hunty silently bringing up the rear. End of chapter 10.